And on that ethereal music note, I want to say green greetings to you. Welcome to the program. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, joining you live after a week away on the East Coast, actually, where the weather was a little bit warm, I would say. I mean, we get Indian summer here on the West Coast, where we see temperatures in the 70s, even the 80s in September and October, but 70s in Manhattan in mid to late October, I think it was a little weird. Of course, everybody's enjoying the slow arrival of winter there. Can't blame them, but I don't know. Those of us who know a little bit too much about what's going on with the weather are concerned. So short-term, great. Long-term, not so great. As you might expect, we're going to be talking about our favorite topic today, climate change, but with a very current look at what's happening because it was exactly, a year minus a week, October 29, 2012, that, of course, Superstorm Sandy hit the East Coast, New York getting especially hard hit, and that being the political and media capital of the, well, I should say business capital, political capital is Washington, D.C., but everything else besides politics seems to center around the universe that is Manhattan and New York City. So that really put climate change on the map for many of the mainstream media networks based in New York City and along the East Coast. So we're going to take a look at what's been learned and what has happened, not only in terms of more extreme weather beyond Superstorm Sandy, but just in terms of mainstream media coverage, politics, all that. And I'm very pleased to welcome back to the program my first guest, and that is Senator Rob Hoeg. He has been on the program before because his area, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where he lives with his wife and three children, was hit very, very hard back in 2008, and they are still recovering from the extreme weather that hit there. And he is now talking about what we can do to focus the attention on Superstorm Sandy, and there are going to be a bunch of events he's going to tell us about, culminating next spring with a walk across America. Nothing less ambitious than that. So, Senator Hoeg, thanks for joining me, and really appreciate your joining us as you embark on a pretty busy week or two.
Well, Betsy, I'm happy to be on the show. I wanted to tell you that I'm talking to you live from the University of Dubuque in Dubuque, Iowa, where I just talked to some students about remembering Hurricane Sandy and climate change, and I feel an increasing grassroots support for climate action all across Iowa and across the country.
That is fabulous, especially because, of course, you were hit by unprecedented flooding back about 5 years ago that caused how many billions in damage to your
area? Betsy, we've got a relatively small city. It's Iowa's second largest city of 125,000 in Cedar Rapids, and we suffered $5 billion of damage in the flood of 2008. 5,000 homes had to be evacuated. 1,300 have been demolished. 1,000 businesses were flooded. We lost about 200 of those permanently. And virtually every major facility in city and county government, including the jail, the courthouse, the fire station, the police station, city hall, county administration building, public works building, and the worst non-fire disaster to hit an American library in our country's history, we lost 80,000 volumes in our library.
Wow. And speaking of fire, in June, I was fortunate enough to be invited to speak at a town called Bastrop, Texas, and they're about a half mile outside of Austin. And they invited me to talk about climate change because their town was hit by one of the worst fires, wildfires in U.S. history. They lost 1,700 homes, which was about half the community there. So that was another very stark and alarming and hugely frightening wake-up call for them. Sounds like you've had the same thing happen where you live. Since Sandy did hit the East Coast primarily, and since New York City was flooded and all kinds of damage, some establishments just now coming back online, I found out, some restaurants that just were able to open in the last few months, with the subways flooding, with all these images we cannot forget. Do you think overall across the country, you know, Americans are waking up and smelling the carbon, even if certain representatives in Washington are loath to for their, you know, very short-term, you know, personal benefit?
Well, I think people are connecting the dots, Betsy. I really do. I've traveled a little bit around the country, always trying to combine errands, a visit to my dad, talked to people in Colorado. This was before their flood in September. And then this in August, I was out on the East Coast taking my son back to college and touring about climate change. And across the country, people are connecting the dots. There's no question about that. And, you know, if you just think since Superstorm Sandy hit, look at what's happened in our country. We've had, you know, the biggest tornado in Oklahoma's history, killed 26 people, deadly flooding in Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Texas, then Colorado. The wildfires have killed people. Colorado, Arizona, the hot shots dying there. Wildfires in Idaho, California. The unprecedented early fall blizzard in South Dakota that killed 100,000 cattle.
That's right. Colorado right after heat and drought and wildfires.
Oh, we've gone in Iowa, we've gone from the worst drought of my lifetime back to 100-year flooding that killed a man in New Hartford earlier this year, back to drought. We are on a yo-yo here. This is extreme weather. And unfortunately, the scientists are telling us it's going to get substantially worse in the coming decade. So we got to get ready on this. People are connecting the dots. There are things we can do about it. But for right now, what we're really focused in Iowa, and I know across the country people will be doing this as well, is let's remember Hurricane Sandy and the 117 Americans that died and all of the damage that occurred out there. It cost our country $70 billion, with a B, more than $200 per American. And in Iowa, where we've experienced all the flooding and the drought and tornadoes and are starting to see some ecological disruption from climate change, we know that these types of events are hard, and they take an economic and emotional toll. And so we're calling on in Iowa and encouraging people across the country to do, next Tuesday, on the first anniversary, do something public to commemorate the first anniversary of Hurricane Sandy's landfall in the United States. Remember, it started on October 22nd in the Atlantic Ocean and tore up the Caribbean before it got to the United States. So that's why we're doing this over a week in Iowa. But people around the country should take some time on Tuesday, join an event. Organizing for Action has them on their website, has events across the country. You can still organize an event. But do something on Tuesday to take some time and remember the record storm surges and all the damage that came from Hurricane Sandy, and then commit to taking more action in the future to prevent future disasters, to safeguard our people and our property.
Hear. That's sounds like, you know, the only thing to do really is to get people to really notice that anniversary, not with celebration, but observation, just to say, you know, nobody is immune, no one in this country. And look what's happening in Australia right now with, terrible horrific
heat.
Fires joining, you know, up and becoming one giant inferno. And, you know, hundreds of homes are threatened.
Yeah, it's very serious. And around the world, we've had, you know, flooding in Mozambique, Cyclone Thalen, a whole series of Asian typhoons this year. In Mexico, Hurricane Ingrid and Hurricane Manuel that hit at the same time from both coasts. This is something that affects real people. There are real consequences. And part of our job as Americans in the 21st century is to help safeguard people and take care of them when disaster strikes. This really is what ought to be our national purpose in the 21st century, is doing this. Betsy, let me give you a couple examples of what we're doing in Iowa to remember Hurricane Sandy and its victims. Our Episcopal Cathedral in Des Moines is going to be hosting an evening prayer service this Friday at 5:30. On Tuesday, we're having a candlelight vigil in Cedar Rapids at the replica of the Statue of Liberty on the First Avenue Bridge over the Cedar River in downtown Cedar Rapids. And remember, the Statue of Liberty wasn't itself damaged, but the island was closed for 8 months because of Hurricane Sandy. In Davenport, they're going to be meeting at a gazebo along the Mississippi River in Centennial Park at the end of Marquette Street. We're trying to get people across the state to do events like this. I've got a few others that I didn't mention. But it really is something where the community can come together and say, we will never forget that people are dying from these disasters, and the scientists are telling us that at least some of these disasters are climate-related, and we should expect more of them in the future, so we also need to act, and we need to commit to acting.
Well, first of all, the loss of lives, both human and animal life, and also, you know, livestock and livelihoods. I mean, just the costs are tremendous on so many levels. And yet we just saw this government shutdown cost, you know, the country, you know, millions, if not billions. And, you know, they always, those opponents to taking action on climate change always say it'll be too expensive. What are people missing when they see that? You know, the costs of nothing are, of course, much greater, and the longer we continue to procrastinate, the worse it will get.
That's right. First of all, we face a terrible cost if we don't act, and the responsible thing is to act. But here's the good news, Betsy, which is a lot of the solutions actually help our health. They help our economy. You know, clean, renewable energy is not only the best sustainable choice, it's also now, in many cases, the best economic choice. And even if it costs a little more, that's hardly the greatest sacrifice that America's ever made. And it's something we need to do. This is what Americans do in the 21st century is we fight climate change, we fight for sustainability, and we take care of people when bad things happen. And that's the challenge of our generation and our time. Is to work on this climate issue. It is an urgent issue. It requires urgent action. And wherever people are, they can get more informed, more involved, do more, and speak up more. And there are lots of groups out there doing great work. And so people need to get involved and help grow this movement even more so that we get to the point where in the next year or two, this is what Americans know we need to be doing in the 21st century. This is our historical challenge, and I think as a country we're up to it, but that requires people to take action and to speak up.
And how important is our political representation? I mean, when we have, you know, Tea Party activists kind of infecting the Republican Party and you know, people like James Inhofe still stupidly but proudly somehow saying, you know, the biggest hoax perpetuated, you know, on man, it's beyond silly. It's downright dangerous, and it's, you know, really almost criminal in my view, given how little time we have to waste. And yet still, you know, we've seen, and then they're trying to now get Keystone Pipeline snuck in there. Are you concerned about that, that for some reason still in Washington there's just this gridlock that is costing us real time?
Well, of course I'm concerned about it because we need action. But here's, I'm really hopeful that Americans at a grassroots level are coming together, and this is an issue that unites us, taking care of people, protecting the environment, creating a safe climate for the future and for future generations. Let me just give you an anecdote. We are very close to having a new largest solar energy facility in the state, and it's not in a liberal hotbed like Iowa City. It's not even in an industrial town like Cedar Rapids. It's Kelowna, Iowa, which is a very conservative community in Washington County, and their local electrical co-op is building the biggest solar array in the state. And why are they doing that? Because it's good stewardship, it's a responsible thing to do, it's the right thing to do, and it works. So this is something that really can unite us. It can unite us across our faith traditions. It can unite us across the political spectrum. And we just need more Americans to speak up and say, you know what, this is what Americans do in the 21st century. This is our historical moment. And I think we can do this. Remember, if you look back in history, civil rights, very controversial. Entering World War II before Pearl Harbor was very controversial, and yet our country was able to come together and do those things. You know, is it perfect? Is there 100% agreement? No, that's not our way. But we've got to get to that critical mass that says, you know what, James Inhofe, we're tired of your deception and your misdirection. Let's just do the solutions that work and be responsible stewards and do the things we need to do. We do not need the Koch brothers to make billions of dollars on the Keystone XL pipeline when we know that fuel efficiency works, walkable and bikeable communities work, electric vehicles work, fuel efficiency works, rail works. We have the transportation solutions we need. We don't need a pipeline that's going to take American farms and ranches to take tar sands to Port Arthur, Texas, for sale on the global market. That's not what we need. What we need are these clean, sustainable solutions.
Senator Hogue, do you think America needs fracking, or is that a bad idea?
Fracking makes no sense from a climate perspective. When you understand climate change, you understand we need to leave the fossil fuels in the ground, and that's what we need to do. So we should stop the fracking, slow it down, regulate it, eventually stop it, and wean ourselves from that dirty energy and move to the clean energy future. Betsy, I do want to mention the March Across America next year. It's the Great March for Climate Action. It's being organized by some other Iowans. And people who want to get involved can learn more at www.climatemarch.org. And what they're doing is they're trying to get, I think they're over 100 already. They're trying to get as many Americans as possible to walk across the country, starting in California on March 1st, finishing in Washington, D.C. on November 1st. And they're going to need supporters along the way. They're stepping out. The people who are organizing this are stepping out this with a little act of faith here, hoping that people will step up and help them as they cross the country. But this is one of the things that people are doing to say, you know what, it's time. Let's meet this historical challenge that we face and take the action that Americans know is the right thing to do. We can all conserve energy, we can use renewable energy, and most importantly, we can get our elected officials to at least get out of the way. But best would be if they'd actually lead the way to lead our country to the action we need and help the world take the action that the world needs.
As far as I know, this is the first time a march, to raise awareness and action on climate change has taken place across the country. We've certainly had bike rides up and down both coasts, and I'm sure there have been walks. But as far as you know, is this the first? And this is very ambitious. So who's really spearheading this? And if people are listening and want to take part, I'd like to do a little bit from California anyway. Is it going to be kind of a tag team? I imagine there won't be people walking all the way across. That's a lot of
Well, bus. No. They've got 100 people signed up already, or over 100. We're going to do the entire march and the whole way. This
wow.
is based, the organizer of it, the lead organizer is a former state representative in Iowa, Ed Fallon, who came out of the American-Soviet peace walks of the 1980s, which, by the way, really helped lay the foundation so that Gorbachev and Reagan and then Bush could take the action they needed to take to end the Cold War, and it really laid the foundation for people in the Soviet Union, people in the United States, to get to know each other, to build grassroots support. That's the model for it, and I'm excited about it. I'm not walking the whole walk, but I'm going to walk as much of it across Iowa as I can. It's scheduled to be in Iowa in late July through the middle of August, the hottest time of the year. But this is something that people can participate in. You can help financially. If you're interested in walking some of it, you'll be able to do that. If there are listeners who want to walk the whole thing, they are still taking applications for that. And they're trying to get as many people to make the walk as they can. But I think it's a real exciting moment. It's not the only thing that's going to be happening in 2014. But as I said, with an issue as urgent as climate change, we need some big actions. And so that's why I support the Climate March. This week, think about the people who were hurt by Hurricane Sandy. Do something public on Tuesday, the 29th, so that people can see that there are people expressing concern about Hurricane Sandy and the need for action. And then, look at things like the Great March for Climate Action. Or really targeted efforts at getting your congressional representatives to move on this issue. Every congressional representative in America needs to hear from constituents. I don't care how conservative they are or how liberal they are or what their past record on climate change has been. With events like Hurricane Sandy, everybody has the opportunity to change their mind and say, you know what? Maybe I was skeptical about climate change in the past, but the stakes are enormous. When you have disasters and record storm surges like Sandy and that $70 billion cost to our country, you know what? It's time to act. And I feel pretty good that people are coming around on this issue, and it's coming perhaps more quickly than some of the pundits might expect.
I agree in many ways, but I just want to ask you about a couple more things, and I'll let you go.
Sure.
You've got a busy schedule. But I was watching on my way back from New York, watched a lot of CNN on Virgin American Airlines, and I saw a couple things that concerned me. One, there was an interview with Warren Buffett. You know, he's doing a tour now with his son and grandson. They've written a great book called 40 Choices about, you know, attempting to address hunger, worldwide hunger. So in no way am I putting down their great efforts. But at the end of the interview with Piers Morgan, and of course there was no mention of any environmental challenges, even dealing with, you know, global food supplies in this one-hour interview. But at the end, Warren Buffett said he's, you know, bullish on our future. He thinks he's excited for the future that his son and grandson are stepping into. America's best days are ahead. Right before that, I saw an interview with Jack Welch on, I think, one of the financial channels, and, you know, another titan of business, and he was talking about how he doesn't understand why we don't just build Keystone and frack the heck out of the country. We can have oil independence. So that's disturbing to me when I see people who are considered, you know, business leaders and have a lot of influence, let's face it, with Americans, not even discussing the environmental or climate repercussions of these things. I just wondered if, you know, I don't mean to rain on your optimistic parade, and Lord knows, you know, you have to be an optimist to wake up every day and be an environmental activist and try to raise awareness. If we didn't have hope, we wouldn't do it, right? But
right.
Things like that, you know, here we are, late 2013, those of us who tend to have perhaps tunnel vision, but somebody has to, on these issues, you know, with our green-tinted lenses, I kind of throw up my hands when I hear things like that. So maybe you could tell me why I shouldn't be too disturbed by that.
And Betsy, that's exactly what some of the interest groups want you to do, is throw up your hands. And here's the thing. Yeah, I understand. You know, I understand that there are people out there who are still taking sort of a short-term economic look at something like an issue like fracking or Keystone, and they think, well, it's going to create this job now, but. But you know what? I think Americans are smarter than that. I think Americans know that, you know what? The challenges that faced the world 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, well, those are now different challenges that we have today. And the challenge that we have today, of course, is sustainability. And so I am very confident that we're going to be able to take the action that we need to take. And here's this, Betsy, because I hear what you're saying there about, you know, is it just, are we too late? Is it too big? Is it
tilting at windmills? Are we in a bubble here?
Here's the thing. Well, first of all that happens is it just continues to get worse. There will always be action we need to take. Are we too late to prevent a lot of things? Yes, we are. But we're definitely not too late to prevent future things, and we need to pull together and take the action we need to take. I'll give you an example. I'm watching the movie The Titanic, and I say to my wife, you know, this is a lot like climate change. We need to slow down, and we need to start turning our boat, right? There's a hazard ahead of us. And
exactly.
she says to me, we also need to build more lifeboats, right? So, you know what? Keep at it. This is the work of a lifetime. This is what Americans do in the 21st century. And we need, we need to slow down. We need to turn directions. We need to embrace a clean energy future, more vibrant community life, more healthy living, right? We need to embrace these things. And we also need to take those moments like the anniversary of Hurricane Sandy and say, 117 Americans died in that storm. A lot more than that suffered, you know, serious economic and emotional consequences. We need to continue to be a generous country that helps people in need at their time of need, and that's part of building the lifeboats, right? We need to slow down, change directions and build lifeboats. That's the agenda right now, and there's something for everybody to do. So keep after it, and when you hear people saying things that, you know, just point out to them, well, all right, you say you like fracking, but that doesn't help us solve the climate problem. Some people think, oh, natural gas is helping us cut our carbon emissions. That's a short-sighted view. We need to cut our emissions 90%. Fracking doesn't help us do that. We need to leave natural gas in the ground. We need to leave the tar sands in the ground and just keep educating people. And I'm telling you, the momentum is on our side. The movement is growing. And, yeah, there's still some voices out there that aren't with us yet, but they will be, because our country is going to come together for the action that we so urgently need.
I love your optimism, and I love your book. We should mention that you have a great read. It's not too long and very, you know, much in plain English. It's called America's Climate Century, What Climate Change Means for America in the 21st Century and What Americans Can Do About It. I think that's really where we should be focusing is, you know, yeah, it's real, and those who don't acknowledge it kind of get out of the way, you know. I call them the deniosaurs, and that's of political bent as well as, you know, business titans who are supposed to be more intelligent than the rest of us. You know, if they don't get it, they shouldn't be talking, you know. They shouldn't be having front and center, you know, media attention, in my view, because this is such an overwhelming issue. And just to touch on the imagery you used, you mentioned the Titanic. You know, it's this is what we're seeing so far is really only the tip of the ice of the melting iceberg. In that, you know, for those of us who know what's coming, if we don't change course, you know, what's happening already is just a small part of the, you know, whole monster. If we really don't address this. So I thank you for your optimism, because there's times that I know my co-host, who will be joining me in a few minutes, D.R. Tucker, and I really do need that positive outlook, because so often it seems like we're just losing this battle because, you know, the climate and other, you know, related environmental challenges are just accelerating at such a rapid pace, more rapid than many scientists even predicted. And yet, as far as public awareness, or certainly the leaders that get a lot of mainstream media attention don't seem to be on board yet, and maybe that doesn't matter. Maybe we'll just, you know, outrun them and outrule them with sheer numbers. And I always tell myself the facts are on our side. It's just that can barely keep up with the changing science, and it's pretty much going in the wrong direction across the board. So, again, thanks for being hopeful and sharing that message, and for all the events you're going to be doing around Hurricane Sandy's anniversary and beyond, and then leading up to this great march across the country from March to November. That's really admirable.
Well, thank you, Betsy. And remember, for every voice you hear out there, that's one way. There are other voices the other way. The business community, there's a lot of support. Faith leaders, there's a lot of support. Retired military officers, there's a lot of support. Climate parents, the 100 grannies for a livable future. More and more people are speaking up. The momentum is on our side. And I know it's not, we got a long way to go, but we are turning this ship around, and we're turning the tide. And I think we're going to do what we need to do. There will be consequences to the climate change that's now unavoidable. And one of the things we have to do is remember those victims and help the survivors. But we also can still take a lot of action to prevent a lot of bad things from happening. And I think we're going to do it, Betsy. So keep up the great work. It's been good to talk to you.
Thanks so much, Senator Rob Hogue of Iowa. I'm just so glad that you're doing what you're doing and that you are in politics. We need you. Stay there, okay? Thanks for joining us. That does it for this edition of the Green Front Radio Show. Hope to see you next time. In the meantime, get out there October 29th. Happens to be my husband's birthday, but it's more importantly, nationally, the anniversary of Superstorm Sandy. Let's not let this observation go unnoticed. Let's try to, all of us, do what we can to raise awareness, to connect the dots, and to raise the volume.